It's very interesting, the readings for this Sunday. Almost all of them more or less go together with each other. Usually they're miles apart, but not today. So we have the very, very important words, which are part of our Holy Catholic faith, from the book of the prophet Ezekiel. If I tell the wicked, if you warn the wicked about what they are supposed to do and what they are not supposed to do, a wicked one, you shall surely die. And you do not speak out to dissuade the wicked from his evil way, then the wicked shall die for his fault. But I will hold you responsible for his death. If there was ever a time in the history of the church that this verse held and was important and was taking place, it's today. Not only are the majority of those who are supposed to teach and preach and lead towards God, towards goodness, and away from evil, they're not doing it. Now, part of it, and this may or may not be a lessening of their guilt, I somehow doubt it, is the fact that they don't know it. And you know, it is a very sad reality of this age in which we live, that the majority of the clergy do not know the Holy Catholic faith. And that includes bishops. There are a few here and there that are standing up for the faith, but the majority of them, they're only concerned in their own political gain. Political in the sense of the church, not of the world. The world couldn't care less about any of it. And so they go along with whatever is the latest trend without realizing or without wanting to realize or preaching about the evil that is going on, which it is today. So if people are doing evil things because nobody teaches them, that doesn't excuse them. Our Lord said to them, "You wicked one shall surely die." And he's not speaking about dying like going to the cemetery. We all are going to have to do that sooner or later. He's talking about eternal death, hell. H-E-L-L. The person who preaches the most about hell in the New Testament is Jesus Christ, our Lord. No one more than he. In different words, yes. Here it says, "A wicked one, you shall surely die." Now, if you who are in charge of these people do not say anything about it, guess what's going to happen to those? It is said, and of course, the great poet Dante Alighieri said that the streets of hell are paved with the heads of bishops, popes, and priests. So it has been said, even by those who, being Catholic, are not necessarily of the clergy. And then, of course, we have the beautiful epistle of St. Paul to the Romans. He's speaking about the commandments, which we must follow. And the commandments, ultimately, can be summed up in the one commandment: you shall love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. If you love your neighbor as yourself, will you be lying about him and committing sinful acts with your tongue against him? Will you steal from him? Will you do violence to him? Will you commit adultery or fornication with him or her? Shall you steal? Shall you be jealous? Covet? That word is not just the fact of saying, "Oh, I really like that carpet that Canon has on the top step of the altar. I would love to have one like that." That's not being jealous. That's not coveting. Being jealous and coveting means that you sneak in here at night and take it. Or maybe that you pour wine all over it or oil so that it's ruined and that it's no longer beautiful for Canon to use. That is what coveting means. It's a very, very powerful force which is so destructive in the lives of men and of families. And so, again, St. Paul resumes that which our Lord himself has also said. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. If you do love your neighbor, you will not do any of these things. And then in the gospel, we have a very similar message. And this has to do with the church's teaching and practice, disciplinary action and practice, but also moral action and practice of different punishments, and ultimately, if it has to be, excommunication. So if you especially, he's speaking to us, bishops and priests and theologians, if you tell your neighbor that what he's doing is wrong, that you need to stop this, and he listens to you, that's fine. Everything is fine and dandy. Of course, they still have to go to confession. But if he doesn't, then you have to do the next step up, to take two or three witnesses along with you and say the whole thing again. If he doesn't listen yet, then you go to the church. And if he refuses to listen to the church, then what happens? He or she is excommunicated. You would treat them as a Gentile or tax collector. You would not talk to them. You would have nothing to do with them. You know, many times we get together with people that are truly our enemies. We're the enemies of the church, who are the enemies of God and the enemies of Christ. And we think that, well, this is going to be good ecumenically or economically. And those are very close together, by the way. And what happens is, you know, a lot of times people think, well, I am strong enough and I know the faith well enough that I can be in the midst of any crowd doing anything and I am not going to fall. I am going to be above and beyond them all. Well, surprise, surprise, most of the time you fall just like they do. And when you fall, it will be a greater fall, a horrible fall, which will result indeed in the eternal fires of hell. So we are to take the matter to the church. Now, if they obey the church, if they listen to you and to those whom you have brought with you, then the ending of this pericope is very much so. If two of you agree on earth, of course it's not about whether this color is that or that color is this. No, about the matters of the faith and morals. And both of them are important equally. To say that you do not really believe in the Trinity is immoral. It's heresy and will condemn you to hell. To say that you don't believe in the Eucharist is immoral. You know, people just think that morality has to do with the sixth commandment, for heaven's sakes. It does not. It has to do with 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. So, if they agree about that which is the most important thing of all, the faith and the morals that come with and from the faith, then, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I, which means I'm there to listen and to grant their request. And so, you know, it doesn't mean that you can do whatever you want to and say whatever you want to and go around saying that you believe. Well, believe in what? That's not enough. You have to believe in the right, the orthodox faith, and live it and carry out. You have to follow the commandments. You cannot do evil in any way, shape, or form. And then you have a right to expect God to listen to your prayer. If you're living in sin, you have absolutely zero rights with God. Zero. The only right you have is to be thrown forever into the fires of hell. If anybody else is telling you otherwise, don't listen to them. Listen to the truth. That which forms the very backbone of our church and of our life as Catholics. There am I in the midst of them. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.